I'd like to speak today about some extraordinary gifts. And these are the gifts that the wise men gave to Jesus after his birth. When the wise men were invited in to see the child, they went down on their knees and worshipped him. Then they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these particular gifts have a spiritual message for us today who understand what it means to live a life shared with God. They're quite extraordinary, these gifts, quite peculiar in some ways, but they have a deep spiritual meaning. Gold speaks to us of the nature of God. Frankincense speaks to us of prayer and worship. Myrrh speaks to us of the suffering of grief and loss. For Jesus, these were not just fancy Christmas presents to be put away as keepsakes and forgotten about, but rather, these were for Jesus symbols of the realities of an ever-present consciousness of sharing his life with an ever-present God at every level of experience. He grew up knowing that these gifts were being presented to him every day. We're going to take the gifts one by one and apply them to how to live an everyday life in the conscious awareness of sharing life with God. Gold speaks to us of the nature of God. Now, why is this? Well, in the hierarchy of the attributes of grandeur and majesty and the radiance of material things in the earth, gold is ranked number one. And in the same hierarchy of attributes of a heavenly being, worthy of worship and awe and respect, there is the idea of a God. And the Bible says that people who make idols make them out of gold and silver. That's in Psalm 115, with gold as the first choice. And when the people of Israel came out of slavery in Egypt and began their trek through the wilderness, they came to Mount Sinai and Moses went up onto a mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God, and was up there for 6 weeks, which is a very long time. They became impatient and worried that if Moses had gone, then maybe his God was gone too. They wanted a God they could visibly relate to, so they made a golden calf. That was their chief idol deity from Egypt, where they'd come from, and they began to worship it. It was a wooden calf plated with gold. For that, they were severely judged and punished by God. Then some weeks later, God commanded Moses to make a tabernacle, a tent of worship, where the people would gather daily and worship and make sacrifices. The central item of worship was the Ark of the Covenant to represent the presence of the living God that was with them. In Exodus chapter 25, the Bible says, "Make an ark of acacia wood and overlay it with pure gold inside and out." This ark traveled with them on their wilderness journey and was carried on the shoulders of the priests with poles. And the poles were actually made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. This was not a wooden calf covered with gold. It was a piece of acacia wood, a gnarled and twisted species of timber, difficult to work and overlaid with pure gold. The acacia wood represents the distorted nature of humanity, grown out of the soil and overlaid with the glorious nature of God, speaking of the defects of humanity and the failings, mercifully forgiven and covered with the perfect and unflawed nature of God, God with us. And he gave them something to see with their own eyes, something tangible. But this material, tangible item was but a shadow of things to come, and it prophetically signified Jesus. He took our distorted human nature, the acacia wood, he became one of us, and yet he displayed the radiant and glorious nature of God, the gold. He became that ark, the presence of God, the acacia wood, the humanity overlaid with gold, the divinity, truly God and truly man. He became the fulfillment of what Israel had been seeing as the ark for all that time. And this remained a mystery until Jesus came. And it says in Colossians chapter 2, these things were a shadow of the things to come, but the substance or the reality belongs to Christ. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus knew that this gift of gold was an ongoing reality in his life. That's how he knew it. And this is also prophetic of what God had in store for us after Jesus died and rose again and sent the Holy Spirit to join us as one spirit with him. So in the New Testament, we are the twisted acacia wood that's on the outside, and Jesus is the pure gold that dwells within us. We've still got the acacia wood and the gold, but it seems like we're on the outside and Jesus is within. So how do we get to be the gold on the outside as Jesus was in the New Testament? The way it happens is the Holy Spirit draws that radiant nature of God through us, so that as we live closer and closer with God in our heart, that nature will start to shine on the outside. Even though we still have that old dead acacia wood, it's still there, but we choose to let Jesus do the living within us and the shining through us. We live by faith. As Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The gold appears through the trials of our faith. God's looking at us as the finished product, and we are the potential of what we can be and what we shall be through our growth in faith. Peter said it in 1 Peter 1. He said, the tested genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, even though it's tested by fire. So there is that gift. Gift given to us, given to Jesus, given to humanity. God with us. Humanity and divinity joined together. The Bible says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Let that gold shine. Then there's a second gift, which was frankincense. And that speaks of prayer. And we see in the Bible that incense speaks of worship and prayer. We see it in Psalm 141. David said, Lord, I call upon you. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you. Frankincense has a sweet, perfumed aroma and speaks to us of sweet prayer ascending from a true heart. And it's pleasant to God. In Revelation chapter 8, it speaks about the smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's people ascend up to God from the altar. So incense was an offering, a sacrifice to God. So prayer is actually an act of giving towards God. God does want us to bring all our prayer requests to him. But true prayer to God comes from a surrendered heart. What we offer as a sacrifice is our yielded will to God. Not my will, but your will be done. This is a sweet aroma to God. This releases the faith in us that knows with assurance that God is powerfully working all things together for his goodwill to be done and gratefully received in our lives. There is another extraordinary gift that was given to Jesus at his birth, given to us at our new birth, to help us live the life that we share with him. The third gift was myrrh. And myrrh speaks to us of the presence of God restoring lost hope because of grief and loss in our lives. Myrrh is symbolic of death and of grief and of loss. But it's about that presence of God restoring lost hope in us. We see in the scripture that Jesus was offered myrrh mixed with wine when he was on the cross, but he refused to drink it. In Mark chapter 15, it says, and they gave him wine to drink, mingled with myrrh. Now, he knew he was going to die, and that myrrh was symbolic of his death. But for the joy that was set before him, he He endured the suffering of the cross. So he rejected the symbol, and his heart of faith and hope was his resurrection. So he knew that he was offered the symbol of grief. But he said no, he knew he could transcend that because there was joy set before him. There was a hope and a faith. He would be raised from the dead. So how does that become our gift? Well, accepting the reality of suffering and loss has meaning for our life. When we know that God suffers with us and his presence through the Holy Spirit is there, wanting to restore lost hope in us that comes through our grief and loss. We don't always get back the very things that we've lost, but you know what we've really lost? What we've lost is hope. And we cannot live without hope. The grief that all the followers and friends and family of Jesus suffered when he died on the cross was almost inconsolable. But that inconsolable grief turned into the most resounding of victorious joy at his resurrection. So the greatest human tragedy became the greatest human and divine celebration. That's the greatest paradox of all time. Now, somewhere in between his unparalleled experience of grief and death on the one hand, and his experience of exuberant joy and resurrection on the other hand, is the story of our life of griefs and sorrows and lost hopes. But these lost hopes can become the story of the restoration of new life and new hope and a new future. That's the myrrh. And Jesus was buried, and his body was anointed with myrrh. It says that in John 19, when Joseph of Arimathea, who gave Jesus his own tomb, sent the myrrh for the anointing of Jesus' body. And included in Jesus' burial was all of our sin and failure and fear, all of our griefs and loss. He didn't only take them on the cross when he died, he took them and buried them with himself. He suffered and died and was buried for all of our disappointments and resentments and bitterness, all of our doom and gloom and depression. He wants to teach us how to bury these things as we let them go. And that becomes his precious gift of myrrh to our lives. The continual burial of all these things in our lives is continually waiting for a continual command of arise and go forward in a new and risen life with a new hope. This is our powerful pathway of growth. It was designed by God to give us a future and hope, and it cannot be extinguished. We don't just grow spiritually by reading a lot of books or trying to listen to a whole heap of sermons and get more knowledge. God wants us to grow the way Jesus grew. He took on the sufferings of life. He was able to accept that. It says he despised the shame. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And he gave thanks. So this is our powerful pathway. God wants us to grow. He wants to grow us as well as to console us. And he certainly wants to console us in our sorrow. He suffers it with us. He feels it. He's been there. In Isaiah 61 verse 3, it speaks about God and his heart of consolation. It says he consoles those who mourn to give us a crown of beauty upon our heads instead of ashes upon our heads. They are the ashes of grief. The oil of joy for mourning and the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wants us to appreciate and to share with him in the treasure of all of these extraordinary and precious gifts. The gold, the nature of God being seen in our lives. The incense, the surrendered prayer that is a sweet aroma to God. Not my will, but your will be done. And then watching God bring about his good will for our lives. and the myrrh, the ability to accept sufferings and yet to know that out of these things we will be given new hope and new life. Amen.